वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Oh, my Lord, Sri Krishna, son of Vasudev, O all-pervading personality of Godhead, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, translation and commentary by Srila Prabhupada and his servants. Canto 10, the Summum Bonum, the Lord's smiling face. Chapter 74, the deliverance of Shishupal. It's actually the killing of Shishupal, but whether Krishna is killing us or kissing us, it's all good. So it's the deliverance of Shishupal. Today's text number 3.
Saha Bhavan Aravinda Aksha Dinanam Isha Maninam Dhatte Anushasanam Bhuman Tat Atyanta Vidambanam Sabhavan Aravindaksho Dinanam Ishamaninam Dhatte Anushasanam Bhumans Tadatyanta vidambanam Sabhavana ravindaksho Dinanami shamaninam Datte nushasanam bhumans Tadatyanta vidambanam Sabhavana ravindaksho Dinanam Vishamaninam Dhatte Nushasanam Bhumans Tadatyanta Vidambanam Sabhavan Aravindaksho Dinanam Vishamaninam Dhatte nushasadam bhumans Adatyanta vidambanam Sabhavan aravindaksho Dinanam ishamaninam Dhatte nushasadam bhumans Tadatyanta vidambanam Sabhavan aravindaksho Dinanam ishamaninam Dhatte dushasanam bhumans Tadatyanta vidambanam Ladies. Sabhavan aravindaksho Dinanam ishamaninam Dhatte nushasanam bhumans Tadatyanta vidambanam
Word for word, Saha, he, Bhavan, yourself. Aravinda Akshaha, the lotus-eyed Lord, Dinanam, of those who are wretched, Isha, rulers, Maninam, who presume themselves, Dhatte, takes upon himself, Anushasanam, the order. Bhuman. O all-pervading one. Tat. That. Atyanta. Extreme. Vidambanam. Pretense. Translation. This is Yudhisthira Maharaj continuing to address Lord Krishna. That you, the lotus-eyed Supreme Lord, accept the orders of wretched fools who presume themselves rulers is a great pretense on your part, O all-pervading one. Please repeat. That you, the lotus-eyed Supreme Lord, accept the orders of wretched fools who presume themselves rulers is a great pretense on your part, O all-pervading one. Purport. Srila Prabhupada writes, Yudhisthira said, O Krishna, you are unlimited. And although we sometimes think of ourselves as royal kings and rulers of the world and become puffed up over our paltry positions, we are very poor in heart. Actually, we are fit to be punished by you, but the wonder is that instead of punishing us, you so kindly and mercifully accept our orders and carry them out properly. Others are very surprised that your lordship can play the part of an ordinary human, but we can understand that you are performing these activities just like a dramatic artist. Om Gyana Timurandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Mulitam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. I was born in the darkest ignorance, and my spiritual master is opening my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. I offer my respectful obeisances unto him. The first thing that struck me about the purport was that once again the servants of Srila Prabhupada repeated how Prabhupada paraphrased the verse in Krishna book, because this is 10th canto. Srila Prabhupada amazingly stopped his translation work in 1969 to give us two essential books because he didn't know how long he had to live. So as he was translating, he was thinking, well, I better give them these books before I leave. I don't know how long I have here. So he stopped and he translated Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu as Nectar of Devotion. And he gave us the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam as the Krishna book, Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he did it in such a way that even though it's the 10th canto, the Lord's smiling face, and Prabhupada, as you know, says we have to go through these cantos systematically, so by the time we get to the Lord's smiling face, we don't mistake that smile for the smile of some ordinary man. Right? So Prabhupada wrote that Krishna book in such a way that even though it's Krishna Leela, you can't misunderstand it, because he couches all the Leela in such beautiful philosophy, and it's so artfully done. It's not, the Leela isn't disturbed by the philosophical commentary, but it's woven. It's a sandarbha. It's a weaving so nicely that it's very pleasing. But here we are at the 10th canto, so what have the servants done? They say, oh, well, listen to how Prabhupada translated. And it's interesting that not only did they cite it, they must have cited it for this reason, I'm thinking. It's because Prabhupada's rendition of the verse is an enrichment of the verse. And this is Prabhupada's style. Scholars some scholars who are literalists, and picayune grammarians, sometimes they don't like Prabhupada's translations, because Prabhupada very often he gives you more than what's in the Sanskrit, right? But he does that for a reason. He does it so that we don't get distracted by so many speculations or detours into karma, jnana, and yoga. Like in the Gita, I think it's chapter 8, text 9. Kaving puranam manushasataram anoraniyang samanusparedyaha sarvasya dhataram achintya rupam adityavarnam tamasakparastad. One should meditate on the Supreme Person as one who is the oldest, the controller, etc., etc. You know. And then it says at the end of the verse, Prabhupada writes, and who was always a person. That's not in the Sanskrit. But everything in the Sanskrit points to that. So Prabhupada doesn't want us to get misled, because his mission is Nirvishesha Shunyavadi. The whole Kali Yuga is full of impersonalism and voidism. He's doing some what we call affirmative action here. He's making a corrective. He's correcting the course. So similarly here, look at yesterday, Yudhisthira began addressing Krishna by saying, this is the verse. All the exalted spiritual masters of the three worlds, together with the inhabitants of the rulers of the various planets, carry on their heads your command, which is rarely obtained. And then the servants put the enrichment in. Their whole purport is simply Prabhupada's enrichment. Quote, this is how Prabhupada enriched the same verse. Quote, my dear Krishna, O eternal form of bliss and knowledge, all the exalted directors of the affairs of this material world, including Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, and King Indra, are always anxious to receive and carry out orders from you. And whenever they are fortunate enough to receive such orders, they immediately take them and keep them in their hearts. Now it's extraordinary. Those are the people Yudhisthira, on the one hand, he's saying, yes, these devas, you know, these administrators of the world, of the universe, they gladly look forward to your orders. And now listen to the mood in the very next verse. He's like going another way. He's saying, that you, the lotus-eyed Supreme Lord, accept the orders of wretched fools. Now these are people who are eager to take the orders on their heads. But the humility of Yudhisthira, thinking himself to be the wretched fool, the Dina, who presume themselves rulers, because now he's getting ready to be installed, right, as the emperor. This is the Rajasuya. This is the lead-up, the run-up to the Rajasuya. Who presume themselves rulers is a great pretense on your part. It's a big act, O all-pervading one. And this really reminded me of Yudhisthira's mother, Kunti. Yudhisthira is the son of Dharmaraj and Kunti. In those beautiful prayers by Kunti Rani, Queen Kunti, you have this Nalakshase Muradrusha Nato Natyadaro Yata. The fools, they can't recognize you. Foolish people can't. Because you're acting just like a human being. As a player is not recognized, right? As an actor is not recognized when he's acting as a player. Yeah. So, yeah. So orders. When I was reading the first three verses over again, and then today's verse again, the word orders. Why does Krishna accept the orders? He doesn't accept anybody's orders, right? But it's out of love. It's out of love. And it's like Srila Prabhupada would tell the story, maybe you've heard on the recording, that to show how Krishna likes to relish love, he's the supreme, but this is not only, how did Prabhupada render Bhagavan in English? Nobody ever heard this before when he came to the West. How did Prabhupada render Bhagavan? Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We never heard that. But it's beautiful, because you get in that phrase, you get the majesty of God, supreme, right? But then personality of Godhead. You get the personality, you get the intimacy. Yeah. And then when Prabhupada was going to incorporate ISKCON, right? Now we're celebrating the 50th anniversary of ISKCON's incorporation year. And Prabhupada started doing this even before he had a place to stay. He was speaking to an attorney called Stephen J. Goldsmith on the Lower East Side of New York City when he himself, Prabhupada, was sitting in this loft of this Bowery. You know Bowery? Bowery, even more back then, 50 years ago, it was like Skid Row. It was the lowest of the lowest place. Prabhupada, to get in the place, he had to step over drunks. And if they were awake, they'd look up and they'd roll over for him, as even they recognized somebody exalted. So Prabhupada is up there lecturing, you know, to whoever was conscious enough to listen. But there was one guest who was sympathetic to people who were trying to start what we call in America non-profit organizations, especially religious non-profit organizations. So he was drawing up the papers with Mr. Goldsmith, and he was telling Mr. Goldsmith, "I want to call this the International Society for Krishna Consciousness." "Oh, why do you want to call it that, Swamiji? People don't know who Krishna is." And Prabhupada came back with, "That's the point. They don't know who God is." They kept saying, "Why don't you call it God consciousness?" "But why? I've come to teach you who God is. He's Krishna. He's all attractive." Yeah. So this devotional person, this is the kind of person whom Krishna fulfills and carries the orders of, not just any person. So since I'm traveling around sharing just a particle of the unlimited glories of our founder Acharya, I thought I would maybe share with you some points from these verses with the founder Acharya seminar. So even though we only had a handful of brahmacharis, and there's a lot more in this room, I think you probably know, I'm going to ask you now, when did Srila Prabhupada first receive his orders? Raise your hand. When? 1922, right? Before he and Narendranath Mullick, Naren, Prabhupada said, "My friend Naren dragged me. I did not want to go to meet another so-called sadhu. I'd seen too many sadhus in my father's house. They weren't really sadhus. They were just begging japatis." But Prabhupada said, "Somehow or other, I was always the leader of my group. So all my friends had met this sadhu, but they wouldn't give their opinion unless, you know, I gave my opinion. Because they wanted to hear what Abai thought, right? So I let him, so he dragged me." So they go up to the top of Altadunga Junction rooftop. Number one, Altadunga Junction, Calcutta, 1922. And because, you know, they're educated, cultured young men, they bow before the sadhu. And Prabhupada said, even before we'd finished our obeisances, the sadhu said, "You are educated young men. Why don't you preach the message of Lord Chaitanya in the English-speaking countries all over the world?" He was saying that to everyone. Right? But then Prabhupada said later, but he found something in me. What did he find? Well, first of all, what the Thakur, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, found was somebody who was not going to accept that blindly. Because what did young Abai say? What did he say when he was asked to do that? Yeah. Who will listen to us? We're a captive nation. We're still under the boot of the British Raj. The Brits have been here since 1757 or whatever that battle was. Yeah. Who will listen to us? First we have to get Swaraj, right? Prabhupada said, I was a Gandhian. I was wearing Khadi like Gandhi, and I had boycotted we were boycotting all things British, including his diploma. He passed his exams, but he boycotted the diploma, which is pretty bold. So then what did the sadhu reply?
Krishna consciousness is more than who is ruling and who is not ruling.
Yes, Krishna consciousness is more important than politics. It's the urgent need of every living being. So, Prabhupada said, I was right there. This was the blessing. Right there, Prabhupada got the blessing of his allegiance to Gandhi went, just flew away. And Srila Bhakti Siddhanta became his new guide. Prabhupada told us later. I accepted him immediately. Not officially. Right? It wasn't Diksha, but in my heart. Immediately, he accepted Saraswati Thakur as his Guru Maharaj. So for that change of heart, Srila Prabhupada started to receive blessings. And the blessings were that he became very attached to reading the books of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta. Even when he moved away from Kolkata to go to Allahabad to start that Prayag pharmacy. At Kumbh Mela, these Gaudiya Math sadhus walked in. We've read in the Lamrit, right? Oh, Abai Babu, we hear you are very nice Vaishnava. Please help us start a branch of the Gaudiya Math in Allahabad. So Prabhupada thought, oh, these people. He hadn't seen them in 6 years. Because Prabhupada thought, you know, when he did meet Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, he thought, oh, I would love to join him, but I cannot. It will be injustice. Because he was already married and he had a son, his first son. It's interesting how Prabhupada answered the question of why didn't you join, you know, why didn't you do your mission right away? He answered it differently. To the Radha Damodar Brahmacharis in Atlanta on the 2nd of March 1975, he said, I should have joined immediately. I was such a rascal. Because that's what they had done. We had done that. We had joined immediately. We had given up, you know, by Chris's arrangement, the whole generation of us, as you know from reading The Journey Home, who had rejected everything. We rejected our family and our university and you know, the government and business and the values, we rejected everything. So Prabhupada was validating their choice to join him. I should have joined immediately, like we had done, right? It took me 43 years to leave India. But to reporters, this is why we have to know Prabhupada in context. You have to know who Prabhupada's speaking to, where he's speaking to them, when he's speaking to them, and why he's saying what he's saying to understand Prabhupada, or else you will get completely bewildered by all the apparent contradictory things that Prabhupada says and writes, right? Yeah, he does it time and time again. Context is everything. So to reporters, he would say, well, I have to prepare myself. It's no small thing, you know, to transplant Gaudiya Vaishnav culture into completely alien soil, to preach to people who are raised on the very activities which we swear to avoid at initiation. I thought when I would say the rules, you would say, Swamiji, please go home, Prabhupada would say. And what else would he say? Well, he would say other longer things he would say too, but okay, so Prabhupada did. He helped him start a Gaudiya Math. And then in 1933, in that same Allahabad, after helping those sannyasis start a Gaudiya Math, and after having shown his eagerness to hear to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, in Allahabad, in November, the Thakur did initiate Srila Prabhupada. Yes, I know him. I have marked him. He likes to hear. I will accept him as my disciple. So Abhay Charande became Abhay Charanaravinda Das, a servant of one who is fearless at the lotus feet of Krishna. A couple of years later, it was 1935, and it was actually getting close to the end of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta's manifest pastimes. Prabhupada would tell us he Guru Maharaj left early. He was disappointed. He was discouraged of the way the mission was going. But in 35, even as he was getting discouraged, he noticed at least one person amongst his, we read in Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Vaibhav that the Thakur initiated 60,000 disciples. I never heard that. This is what Bhakti Vikas Swami researched and found. At least Harinam Diksha. I don't know if that was, or Harinam, I don't know if it was Gayatri Diksha. So, three blessings. Because since initiation, especially, you know, the desire to preach and to fulfill the orders of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, who was encouraging all his educated disciples to become proficient in English, in written and spoken English, and, you know, go to the Western countries. In 33, they had tried that. That very year, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, the crowning glory of the Gaudiya mission was when he sent those sannyasis to the West to preach. Bhakti Saranga Maharaj and Ban Maharaj and Samvidananda Prabhu, I think. Forget his name. Sadananda, the German godbrother of Prabhupada's. And they had not had such many results, so they were recalled by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta. So in 1935, in February, it was the occasion of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta's Avyabhav, his appearance in February. It's coming up soon. It didn't happen yet, did it? No. Okay. It's getting close. So in February, by 1934, Srila Prabhupada had left Allahabad and he was in Bombay. He was right here. He was trying to... His business didn't do well in Allahabad. He was so generous with his debtors that he had spread himself too thin. And he wasn't able to pay his own bills. He was getting supplied by his former boss in Calcutta, Kartik Chandra Bose. Dr. Bose was supplying him pharmaceuticals wholesale, and then he was retailing them at Prayag Pharmacy. But the accounts were way behind. They weren't paying him, so he couldn't pay his bills. So to get his former employee out of debt, Kartik Bose, he just took over the business and he assumed the debt. And he, you know, got on the case of the debtors. So Prabhupada was relieved of the debt, but he didn't have any more business. So what he did before he came here, before he came to Bombay, he started a little pharmaceutical works, just enough to provide income for his family. He left his family in Allahabad. And he came here along with a brother of his, and their wish was to start something in Bombay, start producing and selling pharmaceuticals, because this is where it's all happening in the big city. Because, you know, Prabhupada, he couldn't join Srila Bhaktisiddhanta immediately, but there had been a prophecy, right, a prediction by an astrologer that he would, you know, by the stars and by his palm, he was supposed to be rich, right? Another Birla, another Tata, another Dalmia, another Ford, another Rockefeller. Prabhupada would always use Ford and Rockefeller when he was preaching to us in America. So he thought, well, okay, then I will become a rich man, and then I will, when the family business is finished, I will use my accumulated wealth to do the mission. But Krishna didn't agree to fulfill that desire the way Prabhupada thought. He made Prabhupada rich another way later. So in February 35, after helping two more Gaudiya Math sannyasis launch the Bombay Gaudiya Math, he wasn't doing so well in business in Bombay, but again he bumped into them, right, the Gaudiya Math people, and he helped them launch Bombay Gaudiya Math. So he was selected on the evening of the appearance anniversary of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur to give the Vyas Puja address. And this address was, it was printed every year in the BBT Vyasa Puja book. Used to be. It was called The Universal Teacher. Gentlemen, our Guru Maharaj is not the guru of a sectarian institution. Rather, he is a Jagat Guru. He is a universal teacher. And it was praising the Thakur on and on and on. And it was pleasing when the address was given to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta later. That was very well received by his Guru Maharaj. But he was more impressed by the poem that Srila Prabhupada wrote. Adore, adore ye that holy day, blessed than heaven, sweeter than May. When he appeared at Puri, that holy place, my Lord and Master, his divine grace. And we all know the stanza that pleased him most. Do you know the stanza that pleased Srila Bhaktisiddhanta most? Absolute? Sentient. What does that mean? Yes, you can sense, you can perceive, you can feel. Absolute is sentient. Thou hast proved. Thou hast. Actually, he wrote it moved, and then 34 years later, in 1969, when Gurudas, our godbrother, found the poem in the British Museum or the British Library in London, when they were launching the London Yatra, he copied it and brought it to Prabhupada. And Prabhupada said, oh, I thought this was lost. He found it in an old harmonist in the British Museum or something like that. So Prabhupada read the poem again, 34 years later. And when he came to that stanza, he edited his own poem. He changed moved to removed, because it was more the word he wanted. And 34 years on, his English, you know, he was always improving himself, making himself fit for the mission, right? So Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, the blessing, he would show that poem to his guests. Just see how my disciple knows my mission, knows my heart, knows my mind. And he told the editor of the harmonist, what? Whatever he writes, print it. And immediately, all the godbrothers know that, whoa, this Abhay Babu, he's actually very dear to Guru Maharaj. Yeah. So that was blessing one. This is just major. Blessing two, July. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta comes to Bombay, just like he had come to Allahabad and initiated Prabhupada in 33. Pleased that this young man likes to hear. So Srila Bhaktisiddhanta came to the Bombay Gaudiya Math, and he said, very nice. He told Bhakti Saranga Maharaj, yeah, this is very nice. Very clean, a lot of preaching, a lot of your publishing, a lot of guests. So what did Bhakti Saranga Maharaj say? Actually, it is due to Abhay Babu. His organizational skills, his preaching spirit, people love his bhajans. He should be president. He should be president of the Bombay Gaudiya Math. And you know what Srila Bhaktisiddhanta said? What did he say? Do you know? There is no need to recommend him. It is better he is living outside your company. This is July 35. The Thakur disappeared on, you know, New Year's morning, 37. We're only a year and a half away from his disappearance. It is better he's living outside your company. He can see what's coming. He will do. He will do everything himself. Now, Prabhupada heard that comment. He wasn't there, but he heard later on. He will do everything myself? What does that mean? And then later on, he told us on January 12th, 77, it was in Allahabad, on a train. He said, now I understand. That was his blessing. He expected that I could do something. Otherwise, I had no qualification. But it was his blessing. Yeah. So that blessing was like a prophecy. He will do everything himself. You don't have to recommend him. It is better he's living outside your company. And then that kind of prophecy turned into a warning, grave blessing in November at Radhakund, right? Braj Mandal Parikrama. And now it's only 14 months till this Thakur is going to leave. So you've seen the painting perhaps, Lilamrit. Prabhupada is walking with his Guru Maharaj, and he's got his little son beside him, his first son. I think it was Mathura Mohan. And Srila Bhakti Siddhanta is confiding in him now. Agun jwalbe. There'll be fire in the mud. The fire of dissension will spread and destroy. This Bagbazar temple with the marble, it's this marble palace that this Jagabandhu has built for us in Calcutta, the headquarters. Now my leading men, they're losing their preaching spirit. Now they're just competing for who's going to have the nicest room in this marble palace. I wish I could sell the marble off this palace and just use the money to print books. Abhay Charanaravinda, if you ever get money, print books. So that went deep in Prabhupada's heart. And the next year, a year and a month later, in December 36, Prabhupada, the preaching spirit is now rising so intensely. And he's done a lot. He's helped to launch the Allahabad Gaudiya Math, the Bombay Gaudiya Math. He's pleased his Guru Maharaj like anything by his writing and his speaking. And he's giving, you know, donations. But still, he's feeling inadequate because he really wants to please Srila Bhaktisiddhanta. So, in December 36, he writes him a letter. He's still trying to do the business. It didn't work. But he's in Bombay and he's writing. I'm a householder. Sometimes I help financially and, you know, I do what I can, but I can't do much. You have so many leading sannyasis, and please, is there something more I can do? And within a fortnight, no, soon actually, that was in early December, and by mid-December, December 13th, Prabhupada told us, Guru Maharaj replied, I have every hope, every confidence that you can turn yourself into a very nice English preacher. So you do that and you go preach in the Western countries. And this will be good for you and for all who hear you. Now, immediately Prabhupada recognized this as an echo of what the seed of the order he got when he first bowed down in 22. But now, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, this isn't just a generic order. Now he's seen that here's somebody, here's the one who can do it. Yeah. Years later, when His Holiness Bhakti Rakshak Sridhar Maharaj was visiting Prabhupada in Mayapur in 76, Harishari Prabhu talks about this because he wrote those diaries. So, he said, Sridhar Maharaj and Prabhupada were speaking alone in Prabhupada's rooms. And then Prabhupada told me later that Sridhar Maharaj said, you know, Swami Maharaj, when Guru Maharaj sent the preachers to Europe, and then they came back without much results, because, I mean, what happened in Europe? You know, they met people who, as Prabhupada told that story of the Marquis of Zetland saying to Bhakti Saranga Maharaj, oh Swamiji, can you make me a Brahmin? Oh yes, just follow these rules. Just avoid intoxication, illicit sex, meat eating, and gambling. Impossible! I mean, the Gaudiya Math sannyasis, when they came back, they were telling their godbrothers, these people, These people are animals. Now how could it be? Sridhar Maharaj said, we were thinking, how could it be when Mahaprabhu said in Chaitanya Bhagavat, Prithivite Achayata Nagarati Gra. In as many towns and villages as there are on the surface of the earth, my holy name will be preached? How could it be? These people are animals. There must be some poetic, some kind of exaggeration, you know. But Swami Maharaj, you did it. Therefore, I think you're the real Acharya. We all had the order, but you did it. That was very nice. Appreciation. So Prabhupada, he was always thinking himself very unqualified, very fallen, dina, as Yudhisthira Maharaj in the same mood. But why? Because why did Krishna let him do that? Because he's completely surrendered. Even before, we know, we've heard, when Srila Prabhupada, before, while he was coming, while he was writing, you know, Prabhupada was always looking for some signs, always looking for, from his Guru Maharaj and Krishna. So after Prabhupada took sannyas in 59 from Bhakti Pragyan Keshav Maharaj at the Keshavji Gaudiya Math on September 17th, 1959, and then shortly thereafter, Prabhupada is still trying to do back to Godhead, right? And he's, and it's by then, by the late 50s, he's, you know, he's determined. He's going to go to the West somehow or other. His surrender to the order, it grew in intensity. Even after Prabhupada got that letter from Srila Bhakti Siddhanta in December 36, he said later, I was reading a commentary by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur on Gita 241, right? Vyavasayatmika Buddhi. And the Thakur says, this one-pointed intelligence means you have to accept the order of the spiritual master as your life and soul. So that hit Prabhupada like a shot. I actually have to do this. I have to go to the West and preach. Oh, it really struck him. So Prabhupada, after he took sannyas, he said he met two people. One librarian and one army captain. And they both told him the same thing. And after he heard it the second time, he took it that his Guru Maharaj was speaking to him through these people. And what they said was, you know, you're trying to do this magazine, but people easily throw away magazines. Why don't you write books? They don't easily throw away books. They take them more seriously. So then, it was 59... 60, and what was big in the news was the Russians. Everybody's afraid of the Russians, because in 57 they had put up the first man-made satellite, Sputnik, the traveler. I remember in America we were terrified. I was about 10 years old, October 4th, 57, big thing on the news. The Russians have put up a man-made satellite, Sputnik. This is the unofficial beginning of the space race, the so-called space race, right? We became terrified. Oh, the Russians are going to shoot missiles at us down from outer space. Ah! So everybody's paying a lot of attention to what Russian scientists are saying. So there was an article in the paper, Prabhupada saw this in the news, that Russian scientists have discovered antimatter. So Prabhupada took the occasion, he saw that, to tell the world what really was the opposite of matter was spirit. And he wrote, he serialized it first in BTG, and then he came out with a book, Easy Journey to Other Planets. And he calls the soul the antimaterial particle, and he calls the kingdom of God the antimaterial planetary systems. This is how to preach to the scientists. And before he published it, he sent the manuscript around to theistic scientists, favorable scientists, and he published it with favorable scientific reviews. Very smart, very intelligent. Prabhupada did that. And Prabhupada must have remembered that before Srila Bhakti Siddhanta would send those sannyasi preachers to Europe, he insisted they have a book. And so he wouldn't let them go until this Professor Sanyal, disciple of his, wrote this, Sri Krishna Chaitanya. It was a book of sufficient sophistication and gravity that the Europeans would take it seriously. It was about Lord Chaitanya's life and teachings. So Prabhupada, he must have thought, if I'm actually going to go to the West, then I need a book too. So then he began his magnum opus, his great work, his translation and commentary on Srimad Bhagavatam. And he was living in Delhi and going to Vrindavan for inspiration. But then Gurachand Goswami at Radhadamodar said, oh, you're writing a Bhagavatam commentary. Well, why don't you live in Vrindavan? This is the place for inspiration to glorify Krishna. You know, here at the Radhadamodar temple, I have this couple of rooms here that are dilapidated. They're in disrepair. If you can somehow raise the funds to fix them up, I will let you live here. Just give what you want. So Prabhupada, somehow or other, even though he was an impoverished sannyasi, using every ruby and pice to publish BTG, not even having proper cloth or meals, somehow he raised 5,000 rupees, which was pretty good sum in those days. And he fixed up two rooms, the two rooms that are still in our supervision, care. And Prabhupada said, I paid 5 rupees a month for those two rooms. That was his donation. And he was living there, and then he was going to Delhi to print, you know, with great difficulty printing. But while he was, you know, trying to, even when he was starting this, he was in such anxiety. We know from reading our god sister Mulapakriti, the late Mulapakriti Mataji, she wrote that wonderful book, Srila Prabhupada, Our Friend to All. You ever read that book? Very nice. Yeah. She went around and she got interviews of sadhus who knew Prabhupada before he came to the West in Vrindavan. So some sadhus would report, or this one sadhu reported, I was living right near, you know, this Radhadamodar temple, and I would hear in the middle of the night wailing, crying. And this went on for several nights. So I spied one night, I went out and I looked, and there is Bhaktivedanta Swami prostrate in front of the samadhi of Rupa Goswami, praying. Hey, Rupa! Guru Maharaj has given me this impossible mission. How to do it? So then, one Govinda Ghosh, he was a young man. He liked to hear Prabhupada preach. Prabhupada was a preacher, of course. So he was coming. And he noticed one day, Swami Bhaktivedanta was sick. He was under the weather. And then the next day he came and he was all better. Oh, Swami Maharaj, you're all better. Yes, I have gotten blessings of my Guru Maharaj. He came to me. He said he had a visitation from Srila Bhakti Siddhanta. It wasn't a dream. It was more than a dream. It was actually a visitation. Now, don't worry. You can write. You write commentary like Baladev Vishwanath. You can do it. I bless you. And then Prabhupada told Govinda Ghosh, another time I came, I forget exactly the details of this one, but he said, Rupa and Sanatana Goswami's came to encourage him. You can do this. So because Prabhupada had surrendered to the order, they were fulfilling his desire. Yeah. And I'll end with this. How Lord Chaitanya, I'll end with this. You know, we know from Chaitanya Mangal by Srila Lochandas Thakur that Narada Muni was really worried Right? What are we going to do, Lord? He's saying to Lord Chaitanya about this Kali Yuga. It's going to be, he can see, he's Tri Kala Gya. He can see what's coming. He can see Bollywood. Maybe he saw Bollywood, how bad that would be, right? Kali Yuga is so bad. It's going to be so bad. What to do? Don't worry. I will send more Senapati Bhakta. I will send my military field commander to turn the atheists into theists. To turn the sinners into saints. Right? Don't worry. So Lord Chaitanya, all along, he was making these arrangements in the stage of world history. But then just before Prabhupada came, in those early 60s when Prabhupada was at Radhadamodar Temple in Vrindavan and Sevakunj, Lord Chaitanya was making some finishing touches on the stage of world history. He was making some, you know, amazing dramatic adjustments to the stage of world history. So to send his Senapati Bhakta to just the right place at just the right time so that he could launch the Hare Krishna movement. And the first arrangement he made was a religious arrangement. From 1961 to 1965, there was a big Roman Catholic conference called the Second, it came to be called Vatican II, the Second Vatican Council. Because it was a very popular pope, similar to today's pope, who was kind of a reform pope, trying to clean up the church and make it more relevant and purified. So it was Pope John the 23rd. And what came out, and he died in office in 63. Luckily, his successor continued the conference. So in 65, the very year that Prabhupada went to the West, they came out with these resolutions, like we have GBC resolutions every year. So the resolution that was most relevant for Prabhupada's mission, it said that, now I'm paraphrasing now, but the idea is that God's grace can manifest in many ways through many traditions. The Catholic Church for the first time was dropping its claim of exclusivity. It was no longer true that if you weren't a card-carrying Roman Catholic that you were necessarily going to hell. Thank you very much. Yeah, this gave very subtle but powerful psychological permission for Roman Catholics worldwide, and there are a significant number of them, to look at other teachings. So there's a whole generation of us. We started to look to the East for truth. We're reading the Buddha, right? Vedas. Oh, we're reading books, Siddhartha, Journey to the East, Autobiography of a Yogi, Paramhansa Yogananda. Right? So that was a religious adjustment. A political adjustment. Lord Chaitanya arranged that for the first time in 20 years in the United States of America, ever since World War II, the United States Immigration and Naturalization Service, from 45 to 65, they weren't allowing Asians in the country. Just like today, you know, this whole to-do about terrorism and then somebody running for president is saying, we shouldn't allow any more Muslims in America. So there's a similar kind of isolationist. I guess because Japan was our adversary in World War II, we wouldn't let any Asian, just all Asians in. But then in 65, they relaxed that. And that began the coming of Indian people to the West. And now they're the most successful immigrants in America. Right? So that was an arrangement of Lord Chaitanya. But the biggest arrangement, the biggest way that Lord Chaitanya helped Prabhupada fulfill the orders of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta was that he gave Prabhupada an audience. Prabhupada didn't have an audience in India. Prabhupada said, in India I was crying alone in the wilderness. Nobody cared about what I was preaching. Nobody cared that I wanted to start a spiritual revolution. Nobody cared. Nehru was taking India, completely betraying Gandhi. Gandhi wanted India to be more like Varnashram, the village, self-sufficient. Produce only what you need, use only what you produce. That was the Gandhi Prabhupada like. Spin your own cloth. Didn't want India to be dependent on, you know, Western technology. But Prabhupada told us Nehru betrayed him. He just wants whole hog, industrial. Prabhupada said he noticed when Nehru and his father would come to my pharmacy in Prayag, he would never buy anything Ayurvedic or homeopathic. He would always get the Western medicines. So nobody listened to Prabhupada in India. And then he came to America, and then he's got a whole generation of people mad after anything yoga, meditation, Vedic. So Prabhupada is so dear to Krishna because of all those who had the order, he actually did the order. And all of us who are lucky enough to be in his sangha that he called ISKCON. First he called it the Gita Nagari. The trigger for the first name to Prabhupada's mission was the assassination of Mahatma Gandhi. And Prabhupada was writing Dr. Sardar Patel, you know, the deputy PM of India, and he was talking about this. If you really want to honor Gandhi, Prabhupada said, don't just make a statue where pigeons will pass stool. I can show you how to make a whole community based on Gandhi's inspirational book, the Bhagavad Gita. Everybody knows Gandhi's taking his inspiration from the Gita. But I can show you how to make a community based on the Gita's teachings. That Gandhi said was his inspiration. Nobody listened. Then he started the League of Devotees. That was the second face, second name he gave to his mission. And again, Lord Chaitanya did not allow that. He had something else in mind. And then he started ISKCON finally in the 60s. So Lord Chaitanya and Srila Prabhupada appreciated it so much. We're so lucky we have an opportunity to assist him. And you're so lucky you have such a nice facility here and such nice leadership that people are coming right off the tour boats, right? And you can just... Where are you folks from? Europe?
Italy.
Okay. Yeah, all over the world. So, that you, the lotus-eyed Supreme Lord, accept the orders of wretched fools. Who am I to be sitting here? 1965, I was just a rabid teenager. No interest in anything except sense gratification. Yeah. Wretched fool who presume themselves rulers. I presume I'm a devotee? Come on. Forget it. I'm just a mercy case of Prabhupada. Prabhupada Kripa. Who presume themselves rulers is a great pretense on your part, O all-pervading one. But Krishna, he's accepting the service because we're assisting Prabhupada in his mission. So it's a little late, but just wanted to share something from the Foundaracharya series. It's a lot of mercy being able to share Prabhupada's glories. Maybe we just have to end? Or do you have a question? Or I don't know what to do. Too late for question? Yeah? Okay. Do you have any questions about... I kind of didn't stick to the verse, but I wanted to parlay the theme of how the Lord accepts the orders out of love. You know that saying, God is love? That's true. Because God, love conquers even God. God is love. Love is actually God. Love rules even God. Gyanis. What is it? Prayasa mudapasya namante eva. Maharaj mentioned yesterday 10.14.8, Lord Brahma's prayer. 10.14.3, Lord Brahma also said, those who, even while remaining in their established social position, give up their, you know, the idea of trying to figure out the truth by their own powers, speculation. And instead, they worship descriptions of your glories. Certainly conquer your lordship, although you are otherwise unconquerable. Ye prayaso jita jito pyasitais trilokyam. Although you are otherwise unconquerable by anyone within the three worlds. Any questions? I'm just babbling on here because I don't see any hands. Okay, it looks like the question is,
what time is prasadam, Prabhu?
Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gaur Bhaktivinoda ki jai.